Welcome to the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast. I'm Paul Wobblington, the guy you're about to hear with the soothing, dulcet, central South Texas twang is Randy. Would you say you're from Central Texas or South Texas or South Central Texas?
Let's go South Central, just to that way we can loop in more of the audience.
Yeah. All right. You might want to specify Texas, though, because people think you're from South Central Los Angeles.
I don't think I'm in any danger of that anytime soon.
Boone in the Hood. They made a movie about it.
But yeah, I'd say South Central is appropriate.
All right. All right. Got it. Hey, we got some stuff to talk about. And the first thing I want to talk about is how you make an exit in life, Randy. Sometimes you're asked to leave. Sometimes you ask the other person to leave. Sometimes it's mutual. In the case of Texas and the Big 12, Texas decided they were going to leave. And as they're going out the door, they decided they're going to win a Big 12 title in every sport on the way out.
All of them.
All of them. Well, not basketball and not baseball, we don't think, obviously.
Maybe the tournament.
That's
about the only shot at this point.
But football and every other sport, basically, Texas now has 14 Big 12 titles, which set a record. I wish I knew the exact particulars of it, but I think they broke the record by spectacularly. And it's 14 and counting. So it's kind of a nice way to exit the Big 12, given the trash talking from the commissioner, trash talking from the coaches, and them being sore sports. I'm kind of going to enjoy seeing them in the rearview mirror. What do you think?
No, I think it's about as, I mean, other than winning literally every one of them, it's about as good as you could have hoped for to give a nice throw the deuces up out the window and watch everything disappear in the rearview.
Yeah. What's the movie? It's like a B-level movie where the guy has a funny quitting scene in the burger joint.
Oh.
Where he goes, F you, you're yeah, cool, F you, cool, F I'm you. And I'm out.
Man. Is that Jim Brewer? That's a Jim Brewer movie, isn't it?
It is. I can't remember. I'm sure there's people screaming right now. It's a kind of a pothead movie, right? Like a classic.
Yeah, you're right.
That's
Half Baked. I think it's
Half Baked. Yes, thank you. Half-baked.
Yeah.
Whoa,
yeah.
Randy.
You're cool.
Randy Boone just revealed a little something about himself right there, folks.
No.
You thought he was a clean cut country boy.
I do like Jim Brewer. He's an interesting, different take on comedy, but he's pretty entertaining. But yeah, that's what it is. But yeah, that's a very that would be very appropriate, except for I don't know that there's a "you're cool."
Maybe I kind of remember the "you're cool."
No, it's definitely in there. You're right. I'm just saying.
Okay.
For the Texas standpoint, it may just be the FUs and we're out.
Okay, so I was going to ask you. That's the follow up. Is there a Big 12 school, new or old, that as you leave, you'd give the "you're cool" and you don't wish them any ill? Or does everyone get the FU and the deuces?
Man, I don't think so.
See, I don't have any particular animus towards Arizona.
Oh, we're talking about the new people?
I said new or old.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, then, yeah, any of the new people, I don't have anything towards any of them that I can think of off the top of my head. But yeah, as far as the existing members, I mean, we never really had any interaction with Iowa State, but there's enough football heartache there that they can get lumped in with everybody else for me.
Yeah. No particular animus towards BYU, even though they've given us some horrible memories.
Yeah, true.
Tech can go suck it.
Yeah, UCF.
Baylor.
Yeah, no. See you.
They can stand on Tech's shoulders while they do it.
UCF and Cincinnati this year.
Whatever. I'm indifferent. Yeah. Don't care.
You got Disneyland. Cool. And
any others?
Chili. I guess Cincinnati's got Chili.
Oklahoma State, I have no real negative feelings towards. I have a respect for Gundy, I guess, as a good ball coach.
Of the places, probably deals with the fact that you know, Coach Holiday was from there, and then Coach Anderson, who recruited me,
Oh,
coached
that's
there
right.
for pretty much the whole time
That has
that I
been like
was
the
in
place
school.
for UT pitching coaches and
Yeah, I mean, we had, and baseball wise and football wise, when I was in school, there was some interesting games in football,
crazy.
but baseball wise, we had decent, no terrible experiences with them, and you know, those are people that I respect and like. So yeah, I guess if you're gonna pick a place, and it's kind of a cool place, I guess, you know, small
Stillwater.
town, sort of living in the shadows of Oklahoma City and Norman, like sort of an equal to Oklahoma, but not. Got the little brother thing going on, but you got Gundy sort of trying to beat it back. So I don't know. I guess I respect their plight. Let's put it that way.
You and I might have different definitions of cool small towns.
Well, I'm from Yokum. Actually, I'm
Well,
from the
dude,
south
there's
side of
nothing.
Yokum,
Your
Washington.
area is pretty. It's like nice,
I've just
pretty rolling
I
hills.
my my experience with Stillwater is living or living staying in a hotel in Oklahoma City and driving there and then driving out. So I've
I was going to ask about
never
that.
spent a
So
weekend in Oklahoma City before. So
I was going to ask, so that literally Stillwater couldn't accommodate you, or did you guys make that as a tactical decision?
I would assume that was a tactical decision because we did the same thing when we went to Norman.
So you wouldn't get Rameshed or
Yeah,
whatever it was.
we'd stay right outside of Bricktown in Oklahoma City and make the 30-mile trek.
Did you have food tasters?
Not that I know of.
You
I
know how kings and popes would have a food taster?
don't know. Yeah, check him out first.
Oh yeah, like let's chew that up a little bit and let's watch you for about 3 minutes and then all right, I'm gonna
I don't
dig
know.
in.
I think at that point, Augie had just been everywhere in the world, so he knew every person at a restaurant that he could trust, and that's where we ate.
No doubt about that.
That's what happened when we got to Omaha. It was like, hey, we're going to this place. They're awesome. Like,
I
I
gotta
had never.
say, I would have loved to have seen Augie's refrigerator because I'm pretty sure, other than some mixes for different alcohol, it was empty. Because he ate dinner
Yeah,
every
no,
night and would hold forth at the bar after and entertain everybody.
he was definitely a fan of the dining scene, that's for sure.
I have a buddy who brought up a knowledgeable basketball guy who brought up the bunting too much thing with Augie.
Oh, got him one time. Yeah.
They had a good like hour long discussion slash argument about it.
Well, the thing about it is like, even in today's age, like how the game is advanced and everything, like we've had that conversation before, and his explanation of it still holds water.
It's
It's
I well his I think in a nutshell it was, or at least to him it was, college players are incompetent and
yes,
they'll bungle it.
his whole thing was always college baseball is a game of imperfection, professional baseball is a game of perfection.
Yes.
It's like if you put enough pressure on the opposing team to execute basic fundamentals, they will falter at some point in time.
Yep.
And we're going to do it better than them. And we're going to use every opportunity we have to put them under the microscope, so to speak. And I would say it worked out pretty well for him over the course of his career.
I can't remember who it was. It was a random college baseball game. It was in the College World Series. And I was watching it. I just like had it on, like as background as I was doing something. And there was a pitcher who was so fat and uncoordinated that he couldn't make the run to first base on a bunt. And he kept getting beat out. I think it happened twice or something. And I think like even a run got scored off of it.
I mean, it's a weapon. It's there.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. That's got to be hard to go back in the dugout, though, when your teammates are like, bro.
We talked about this in the fall that maybe we need to cut down a couple. I don't know. We'll see. But
Awesome.
yeah, no, that was his take on the whole thing. It's like you put them in as many positions as possible to let them screw it up themselves.
Augie, RIP, man. He was a Texas coach that I loved that I never got to meet. I got to meet Barnes, who was actually hilarious and a great guy and loves to be teased and like tease people back and stuff. Like, very cool. I met Mac, and he was exactly as I anticipated Mac Brown would be. I've not yet met Sark, but he'd be a fun dude to hang out with, I think. Like,
Seems like it.
of the current UT coaches. he's the dude I'd most want to hang out with.
I would agree with that, but I would also say that I think most of them now sort of seem like I think Vic Schaefer would probably be
he'd be fun guy
from what I understand, and I think Mike White from a couple of his interactions seems like he'd be a pretty interesting guy as well.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Yeah, it's good times in Texas. So 14.
Which, hey, kudos to the softball team, right?
Yeah,
first ever number one seed.
Yeah,
pretty awesome.
It's wild. You know the famous stories about Jenny Fitch and the Major League Baseball players, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, I've seen them. Whatever. I mean, Kat used to come throw to some of our players just because she got tired of hearing them talk crap at parties and stuff.
It's a timing thing.
Very much a timing thing. It wasn't pretty early, I'll tell you that. But
well, you know, it's interesting.
The longer it went,
the longer it goes, the more it gets dangerous for her.
Yeah.
But it does show that hitting is not what people think it is. It's actually recognition of pitches. It's recognition of arm delivery almost more than anything, right?
That's why changeups are probably the most undefeated pitch in baseball. Anything that you can make look exactly like something you think is going to get there, whatever, 4 milliseconds quicker than it will, and it doesn't, without any spin recognition or anything like that. That's why Rivera's cutter was so good. You knew that's what it was. Your brain and your eyes just couldn't react fast enough to deal with
it. I was told
it broke so late. It didn't matter.
I was told something else was undefeated, but now I'm going to write that down. Change-ups are what's undefeated. Okay. I'm going to write that down. Change-ups.
That's a Skip Johnson quote there, Paul.
Let me hold on.
Your other one, not the changeup. He would probably he would probably say the changeup's undefeated as well, but yeah.
All right, so I'm going to put a slash because I X'd it out, but now I'm going to put a slash and I'm going to put both.
It's still in there.
And then I'm going to put a dash Skip Johnson. Do you know what year he said it? I can put that next to
every year that he's been
every year. Recurring. I'm going to put the infinity symbol. Got it.
Yeah.
Awesome, man.
Definitely a quote that I heard a couple of times.
All right. Well, Texas, apparently, as we're recording this on Monday evening, Texas just got a commitment.
We did. Yes.
A guy named Jackson Christian. Is that right?
I don't know if that's right or not. I did on the way home. I did sneak a peek at that highlight video.
Looks pretty
athletic.
What's he look like?
Big dude. Shocker. It's the mold, right?
Port Neches Groves, East Texas. Yep.
PNG.
Oh, Justin Wells, my colleague, is so happy.
He's gonna be eating this thing up. His accent's gonna get even worse when he talks about him.
Hey, I just want to tell you, this guy's a competitor, Paul. Are you listening?
But no, I mean, big athletic dude. Moves around well. I think he can probably pull. Looks like he can climb. I can't remember exactly, but I don't think he's the highest of rated people. But I think that pretty much plays into what Flood and Sark are looking for at this point in time. I think they've got the depth built up now to where you might see them take a couple flyers on some big athletic guys that they're going to take a chance and develop over the years.
Hey, shocker! He's gigantic.
Yeah, no, that's what's happening. You're talking about fitting the mold. I mean.
Yeah.
Huge athletic guy that can move around for a big guy. Yeah.
That's awesome. Texags already commenting that his offer was not valid that they gave him. So yeah,
makes sense.
That's why he fell down to Texas. Thank you, Texas A&M. Thank you for giving us this guy. Thanks for letting us have your scraps.
Much appreciated.
Hey, were you able to see anything about this guy, Jermaine Lole? Is that how it's pronounced?
No, I didn't. He hit a day that I was kind of in and out and moving around and haven't got a chance to look into him.
Okay, so
but, anytime you take a guy away from OU is a good thing.
Yeah, it is. And here's the interesting thing about him. What's wild about him, Randy, this guy is a six-year player, just like Bill Norton. He came from Louisville via Arizona State when he was at Arizona State. And now when like the name rung a bell, but I wasn't sure why. In 2019, This dude was a PFF top 50 player in the country.
What, that been his sophomore year?
Yeah.
True sophomore year?
I think so. He was a dominant interior lineman in the Pac-12. And in 2020, his first four games playing interior D-line, he had like 28 tackles or something crazy, right? Super active guy. And then he quit playing during the COVID year. And I'm not sure if it's because he was worried about COVID or he got COVID or he got injured and got COVID. I don't know what happened, but he didn't finish the year. Then he had a series of injuries and he's basically not been himself since then. But this guy was like an elite, like he was going to be a PFF All-American in 2020.
What year did Edwards get there?
Herm?
Yeah.
You played to win the game.
I beat you.
When did Herm Edwards get to Arizona? I'm just thinking
maybe did that change of coaching staff and
no, change happened earlier. Happened later. I'm sorry.
Forgive me for not knowing the ins and outs of.
He coached Arizona State from 2018 through 2022. And of course, this guy transferred out to Louisville and was like a spot player for them. He was in the rotation. So I guess either this is like a body, which I get, or there's a belief that maybe this dude can regain some of his old swagger. Because if he does, the guy was a complete stud. I don't know the extent of his injuries. And I know he had multiple injuries, like a broken arm and some other stuff, but weird.
I mean, worst case scenario, he's a body.
Yeah. But
seemingly a capable one that, you know, you can scheme up and, you know, utilize for maybe 10, 15 a game or something like that. Best case scenario, you get 20, would you say 2019? You get the 2019 version of him, and
that'd be unbelievable.
That'd be a nice little metal detector in the desert. Fine.
Well, he's a 6-month rental and it costs nothing, right? It goes against, you know, our scholarship limit wasn't at 85, right? So we're good to go. Why not add someone if you can? And it's like finding a dirty lotto ticket on the street. You're like, surely this is not a winner, but I will pick it up and check the numbers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, say you rank your roster and scholarships every year. I mean, what are you counting out of counting on 83 through 85, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you get something out of any of those three guys, then score.
Yeah. It's like the 11th, 12th man on the NBA bench, right?
Yep.
Just be a good teammate. Shut up. You know, clap on the bench when Steph Curry drills a three.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, even if he he turns into a 10 snap a game guy that is reliable for 10 snaps, that's better than where we were. It's 10 less snaps somebody else has got to play.
Yep. Exactly right. Dude, it's crazy. Ian Boyd did a good job a while back on Inside Texas breaking down Sadir Mitchell's snaps in the spring game. That guy, Randy, he's an NFL player. If he wants to play in the NFL, he will play in the NFL and he will change his life and the life of his family. Because when he's fresh, even out of shape and even not even playing with great technique, he is so freaking powerful, dude. There was a pull, not a pull exactly, but it was more of a zone block where Kelvin Banks had to get him and kind of beat him to a spot. And Kelvin Banks beat him to the spot.
Oh, he did. Yep, I know exactly what player you're talking about. Yep.
And then Sadir, kind of standing straight up, just moved him back. I don't know. It's crazy.
You've used this before, but it reminded me of the play in the Big 12 title game where Tavondre Sweat was like,
not in his stance.
Like, man, I really don't feel like putting my hand down on this play. I'm just going to stand here. And they tried to double team him, and he was just kind of like, geez, guys, I'm tired. Like, quit running into me. Like, just get away. Like, just get away from me. And that's sort of what that reminded me of is, like, he was there. He wasn't in great shape. wasn't in great position, really, whatever. And he just like stoned our best offensive lineman.
He's Andre the Giant in The Princess Bride.
Tell you what, man, they need to put Byron Murphy's signing bonus and contract details in his locker and just hang them there in front of him.
Is it Ferdinand the Bull, who's like a peaceful, sweet bull, and he gets stung one day? And yes. Then people observe him going nuts, and they're like, "Oh, we got to get this bull into the matador or the rodeo." I don't know. Is it matadors or rodeo? I can't remember.
It would be a matador thing if it's the one I'm thinking of. Yes,
Ferdinand. Yeah. I kind of feel like we need to have a bee inserted into Sadir's jock or something right when he's running out in the tunnel.
Maybe we can go Roger Clemens and get the icy hot in it. You know, he said as famously, he was like, "I just always like to be a little uncomfortable." So he'd rub icy hot on his jock strap.
That's like, wild.
Hey, more power to you, man.
That guy likes to party.
But yeah, what's the deer going into? Junior year?
Sophomore.
He's that young still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
he might even be a redshirt freshman. Pull that up. Pull it up, Randy Boone.
Working on it. You're going to rely on Yoakum Internet? Okay.
I am going to rely on Yoakum Internet and Yoakum data research, which is scary.
Redshirt freshman.
There you go. He didn't even get enough snaps last year to break his.
So, I mean, even if the light comes on just a little bit, right, you still got a lot of time for full potential to be realized.
I'm telling you, man, in 4 months, which is what we're talking about, right?
He's before from Patterson? Ooh.
Oh, Patterson, New Jersey.
I played up there.
Yeah.
I recognize Patterson. I recognize that name.
That's the high school from Lean on Me.
Interesting area, put it that way.
You're killing yourself, Sams. Here's what's incredibly telling about that spring scrimmage, because I noticed the same stuff Ian did, which is early, he's a problem. Even not out of shape and all that. About four plays into that drive, they get down on the goal line, and Cam Williams pancakes him. Why? Cam Williams is very big and strong, but if it was play one, he's not getting pancaked. And it's just when you are out of shape, you just can't play that many snaps in a row. It just all gives out.
I didn't realize he was 6'6".
He's gigantic.
He's huge. I know he's big. I just didn't know he's that tall. Yeah.
Yeah. He is a big fellow.
Yeah. Let's hope. I mean,
if the light can turn on, here's the bummer about him. Often in his situation, you have to fail and lose your first opportunity, and then it all gets real. And then on the second school or the third school, you go, okay, I get it. It's not that the coaches were picking on me. I need to do this. I hope it doesn't come to that, because that guy could be a huge asset for us, not just this year, but 2025 and beyond.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's like I said, I mean, hopefully, you know, you see the, you know, even if it's just incremental progress this year, just him being a little bit better at that size, that he can give you. I mean, I was talking about 10 snaps a while ago. If he can give you 20, 25, I mean,
oh my gosh,
you got a stud in the making.
Well, and the good news is when you're a 370, 380 or whatever, it doesn't require much to get into more passable shape. It really doesn't when you're that big. You can shed 30 pounds like nothing. The downside is it's real uncomfortable the first 2 weeks of you asserting yourself. Like, you're going to feel like you're dying, right? But that's just how it is. You know, I hope he does. I hope he finds religion. And you know what? May is when the mice will play, because in May, they don't have practice. They're sort of off. And was there a baseball equivalent month where you guys got up to all your hijinks and guys would inevitably get in trouble?
Yeah, probably in the fall somewhere in there.
I was going to think like, you know, October.
Yeah, probably so. Whenever right after the Fall War Series was, whenever that was back in the day. Because, I mean, after the season, you went straight into the summer ball. So, yep. I mean, you had that. And then basically out of summer ball, you came right back to school. So, yeah, it's pretty much whenever, like, the Fall World Series till you had to report after Christmas break. Really, that's probably when it was. end of fall semester to when you had to report, you know, January.
There you go.
10th or whatever was probably your time.
Idle hands are the devil's workshop, Randy.
It's not very ideal for a bunch of 20, especially if you're 21, of 21 to 22 year olds to not have places to be and things to do.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say for most college athletes, including most college students, being 21 is not an impediment to getting access to whatever you need to have fun.
Nobody would ever.
You're talking to a guy who had a fake ID.
There's laws in this country, Paul. There's laws.
I had a fake ID when I was 17.
Yeah, I didn't have an older brother, so.
I had an older brother, and so memorizing stuff was not an issue, right? If a bouncer wanted to grill you, it was all good. I knew our home address. I was all good on that one. Man, it's good stuff. Hey, I'll tell you, someone who's living up to their potential. They are Sadir Mitchell. If he was working out 3 hours a day and was watching Reggie White film 2 hours a day, that is Gabe Winslow. You need to give him a call. If you need to do a mortgage, you can reach him at 832-557-1095. I have extolled his virtues many times and told you all the great things about Gabe. Here's the deal. In a time when interest rates are interesting and in flux, you need the best possible guy in your corner. And frankly, you need a guy who can solve problems. And I communicate with him all the time. And you'd be shocked at what a seemingly straightforward you think it would be to get approved for a mortgage and have it come in on time or come in early. And these things are not often achieved. And Gabe gets quite a bit of business out of mortgage brokers who choke. And they scramble and call Gabe at the last second and say, can you get me a mortgage in 11 days? I'm closing or else I'm going to lose the house. My wife's going to divorce me. And Gabe sighs and goes, let me see what I can do. If you want a guy like that working for you, and don't wait till it's 11 days out, give him a call. And if he's not your first call, make him your last. 832-557-1095. And if you need an awesome Centex realtor, call Laura Baker. You can reach her at 512-784-0505. She's an award-winning member of the Andy Allen team of Keller Williams. And she is busy, man. She's transacting. So get in. I don't know if Austin's quite at the fever pitch it was 2 years ago, but people are moving to Austin, Randy. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
It's still moving.
It's apparently a hot city. Have you ever heard that?
It's news to me.
Yeah. It's been a hot city since 1990.
And seriously, y'all, give Gabe a call because the Astros thing's not working out real good for him right now, and he needs something to do with his time. I'm tired of him texting me and being negative. He's usually the eternal optimist, and he's starting to turn negative, so he needs something to do. So give him a call.
He is a very optimistic guy. Give him a call and talk mortgages. He is a very optimistic guy.
If you need a house, you need a house. Don't worry about the interest rate.
That's right.
He'll figure it out.
Well, and also he'll refi you down the road. You'll be good to go.
Absolutely.
All right, I'm going to look up the Astros record real quick.
Ooh, don't.
Hey, they're not in last place anymore. They're 16-25, my brother.
They just won another game.
They got a game on the Angels. So take that. Hey, dude, they're only 2.5 games out from Oakland.
Well, that's the thing. The rest of the division's not very good either.
That is a garbage division. Oh, my God. I hadn't even looked.
Like I said, Gabe's starting to falter on his optimism. So y'all,
can you imagine?
Give him some hope.
These guys have played 41 games already, and it's like a quarter through this regular season.
So this is my argument all this time when, you know, people that are MLB fans and whatever is like, oh, you just got to give the college team time to turn around. I was like, no, that's not how this works. You play like 40 games. That's it.
Yeah, there's no time in college.
You don't have time to let the numbers like even out through the course of 162. Like you could be a really good player, get off to a bad start, and never right the ship.
Yep.
And it just even if you right the ship, it's hard. It's a different. It's you know the, and I don't know the winning series thing. You know, on weekends has become a new buzzword. Like, oh, we won the series, Like, that was never a talking point when I was there. Yes, the goal is to win the series, but
3-0.
You play to win all 40 whatever regular season games you win. It wasn't a deal. Augie's one of his best speeches he gave us in the locker room was because he had a Cal State Fullerton team that was so talented that they just beat the brains out of everybody on Friday and Saturday. And they go out and party because they won the series, and they'd lose every Sunday. And he locked them out of the stadium, told them they couldn't practice anymore until they figured it out. So it's just, it's just a different animal. Like you can't look at the holistic, hey, let's let the records and the line drives that should have been hits and all that stuff play out. Like, if you're unlucky that year, and you're unlucky, sorry, but I got 35 games to figure out how to win these things. Like,
that's right.
Win them.
Well, badass college baseball teams have records like 50-8.
Yes. Yeah. We're not
99-63.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously talent level and all that stuff plays into it, but it's a much shorter sample size, and you cannot look at them in the same manner.
So what you're saying, this is a callback to Herm Edwards. This is why you're a great podcaster. You play to win the game.
You do. There is no, hey, we're going to throw this game away to move on to the next one or whatever. Like, no, every one of them matters. The RPI thing this day and age is even more important than it was when I played.
Why do you feel the NCAA went after this great man, Herm Edwards? Do you think this is the deep state?
Don't get me started on the NCAA and not knowing what they're doing. I mean, I'm not saying what they were doing was quite on the up and up, but but let's not pretend that what they were doing wasn't occurring elsewhere.
I think it goes deeper. I've got a yarn board on my wall, and I'm connecting all the dots.
Are you saying there's somebody underneath the Denver airport and all of the weirdness that
you know about the Denver airport, don't you?
I know everything about the Denver airport. I don't, but I know it's weird.
We'll talk after the podcast. There's some crazy stuff going on, Randy. I'm not at liberty to talk about. There's ears.
This is why Paul relocated to Colorado, by the
That's
way.
That's right.
He's a member.
That's
Illuminati.
Member of what? What are you insinuating, Randy?
I just picked the Illuminati. I don't know what you're actually a member of.
Oh, God, I wish I was a member of the Illuminati. That'd be awesome.
Me too, man. I would love to know all the secrets. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Not just secrets. I could have keep people killed and just do all sorts of stuff.
I've been practicing laying bricks in my backyard so I can become a Mason.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's lost its roots. They kind of look down on those people now. The elites aren't real down with the Masonic original intent.
It's sort of lost.
The idea of like being a skilled tradesman who could identify other skilled tradesmen and, you know, share a handshake. That's all moved on. I think they're more into like Epstein Island stuff.
Seems like it.
I mean, not that anything happened there.
Yeah.
Hey, we have obviously some time until the football season. You as a baseball guy, obviously, you're satisfied and happy filling your time with baseball.
Absolutely.
But to many sports fans, this is a dead time. Like, there's just not enough nutritive stuff going on to like fully feed you. I guess June is worse, right?
Yeah, this part to those people is probably the equivalent of when like only like basketball and hockey are on TV to me.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their own thing. That's just not two professional sports that I just, if it's on TV, it's probably a good chance I'm flipping past it. So it probably falls in that regard for a lot of people out there.
Hey,
especially if you're a pro baseball guy, if you're kind of a casual person, yeah, the first 50, 60 games, we'll see how everything shakes out. And
yeah,
we'll catch you after the All-Star break. Right.
Good point. Hey, have you seen Shogun? I know the answer is no.
I watched the old one back in the day.
Okay, I did too.
I didn't know there was a new one until you texted me. Yeah,
you were very upset when I recommended it to you. You're like, what is this about? What are you insinuating? Shogun is good. Watch Shogun.
Randomly on a Wednesday at 5 o'clock, you said, hey, almost done with Shogun season one. Really good. It's like, what? That's the most unprompted comment that I've ever gotten in a text message.
Randy's upset.
The original one or what?
If I try to talk to him about a non-sports thing, he's just like, what do you want, dude? Go away.
Yeah. It's like,
Fine. Next time I see Godzilla versus Kong, I'm not going to tell you about it. So
Please don't.
eat it.
But
It
no,
actually,
I have not seen the new Shogun to get back to your point.
it's badass and well worth your time.
I did enjoy the original, I will say that.
The original is good. This is an improvement on the original. And I usually am very angry when they redo quality movies.
Why do you say that? Closer to the book, further away from the book, just more entertaining?
Closer to the book in several areas, and the casting of the original book by Clavell, the Japanese are the main characters in a sense. And then the Gaijin, the pilot, Anjin-san, he is sort of your tour guide. And in the original Shogun series, they made it a little bit more about the Westerner. And now the pilot, the Anjin in this still has a big role, but you realize quickly that he's not the only protagonist. So, and then you realize that he's sort of your guide into this world. He's not the guy pulling all the strings and the puppet master, which is what the point of the book is about. And it's just really well acted, and the casting is brilliant, and they do a great job with like realism. So the sword fights are not Hollywood sword fights where guys go and like fight for 3 minutes. They fight like samurai, which is like the equivalent of like an Old West quick draw. You face off with a dude, you both quick draw, and you both commit. There's no parrying. You're
Yeah,
trying
we're
to
not.
slice off the other dude's head before he slices off yours.
Yeah, this is in the Olympics.
It is not épée. It
Are
is
there
not the
any
foil. It's not saber.
well-known actors in that, or anybody that I would know, or?
No, and that's another thing they did well. They just went for pure acting. They didn't go for let's get a big name, let's get a big, to try to sell this.
Picked a bunch of people from South Dakota to fill the
Well,
roles
more
appropriately.
like Nagoya and Shinjuku. Yeah, more like that. But they got a bunch of really good Japanese actors. The guy who plays Yobushige, if you see it, you'll recognize. He's amazing. Mariko, the girl, his translator. It's a lot deeper of what she's doing than just translating. She's awesome. Even the role players are really well cast. So anyway, if you're listening to this and if you dig EGAT, you're the kind of guy or gal who'd also dig Shogun. So I would suggest that you watch it. It starts off pretty brutal. Stick with it. A guy gets boiled alive early in the show, but it gets more interesting, and it's a very interesting time period in Japan, and it's fascinating. It kind of
Yeah,
gives
that
you some
part.
explanation as to how they didn't get colonized.
Yeah, that part of history over there is that is a very interesting part of that time of the world. Definitely, I mean, there's a lot of times in history and a lot of places that I am trying to kind of learn more about, and that would be one that I'd like to dive more into. But yeah, that what was going on over there at that portion of history is definitely very interesting because it plays a part very much so in modern times and how things evolved and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I went to Japan in the 90s, but I went there for about almost 3.5 weeks and traveled all over the country. And I knew native Japanese, which was really cool. So they could show me stuff that I wouldn't have ordinarily seen. Got to stay with them too. And it is an interesting place. It's super fascinating. Every day you'll see something that's a little bit of a culture shock, especially if you find a way to sort of penetrate the veil of friendliness and politeness. But it's a fascinating country. Like every day you'd think you're kind of getting a grasp of the Japanese, and then you'd see something and be like, okay, well, I did not expect that.
Did
Interesting.
you learn any over there, or did you just punt and go with the interpreter?
I had a Mariko that no, I did learn some Japanese. The thing about Japanese is they're so polite that if you try to speak to them, they're sort of obligated to try to help you. But yeah, I did pick up some Japanese, which they were like very excited by if you'd speak some Japanese to them.
Well, that's same similar experience in Taiwan when I was there. If you like made the effort to speak in their language, it was like a point of respect or whatever. And they would,
yep.
I mean, they'd literally like bend over backwards, like, oh, this guy's trying, like, you know. And we had like little index cards with addresses and, you know, phrases on them, like, hey, taxi driver, I need to go here. And they just laugh at you and my like, oh, stupid American, whatever. But they really were like, it's super helpful and everything. I think that's kind of an Asian culture thing, but I like I said, if it was not a 13-hour flight, I would figure out a way to get back there multiple times over the course of my life, because I really did enjoy it. And to your point, very, very, I mean, for a tiny island that's what, an eighth of the size of Texas, maybe. I don't know, Japan's probably in about the same boat, maybe quarter, I don't know. Multiple types of economies, cities, what drives it, you know, old fishing communities to high tech areas and everything. It was pretty interesting over there for sure.
Yeah, they're like the Japanese, they're big consumers of American culture, but they also have their own. So they're able to balance it. And they have a lot of, and that's a pretty big foodie culture too.
Do they eat chicken wings over there?
In Japan?
Yes.
Sure.
Do they, like, does the wing go in their mouth and come out bare?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Our translator was the most impressive thing that I've ever seen in my life. It didn't matter, drumstick, flat, whatever. Like, literally, there was no gnawing, no nothing. Like, the chicken wing in the mouth, out of the mouth, no meat. Whatsoever.
Also, if you're going to eat sushi there, don't ask for soy sauce.
Oh, yeah, no.
Just eat the sushi and don't ask, like, go in, sit down, and the guy will make you sushi and you just eat what he gives you. And if you start to, like, mess with it or add things to it, that's a good way to get kicked out.
It's the same as asking for A1 at Rich Chris.
Yes. Yeah. Or ketchup.
Yeah. No. And get used to seeing fish eyes and heads of animals on what you eat. But it's fine.
Demonstrates its freshness.
You can just not eat that part. It's fine. They won't get mad. But don't dump a whole bunch of sauce on it. It's insulting.
Yeah, I do remember when we were there one time. We were visiting a buddy of ours who's a Japanese guy, really cool guy. He was getting his MBA at University of Texas, and we were staying with his parents. And they were super nice, really great people. And the mom kept fussing over us, like, you know, just constantly hovering. Can I get you some? You know, the minute your glass is put down, it's refilled, right? And not a drop is spilled, right? Super graceful, everything. And she brought us an apple that was sliced up. And we were like, oh, and we started eating the apple. We're like, this is a really good apple. Wow, this is an awesome apple. And she's like, oh, you like the apple? We're like, yeah. So she goes and gets another apple, just one apple. It's all sliced up. And then we eat that. And we see our Japanese friend starting to crack up because he's Japanese, but also kind of.
Right. So
we keep doing this. And we ended up eating like five apples. And finally, when she's gone, and she couldn't be sweeter about it. And at one point, I think they ran to the market and got like the fifth apple. Okay. And so we were like, why are you laughing? And he goes, I'll tell you later. The next day we asked about it. And he goes, each one of those apples was like $19.
It's like a delicacy.
We ate like $100 of apples, just like as a snack. And we kept complimenting, oh, this is a really good apple. And she'd be like, well, and then she would just bring another. And we thought, to be polite, that we should finish the apple and compliment it. And we learned, like, don't get in a compliment war with the Japanese. Don't get in a gracious.
No, yeah,
like,
absolutely not.
Because if we gave, we brought them gifts, and they were like thoughtful gifts and like Texas stuff or, you know, interesting things. Like the next day, we had a perfectly wrapped, ribboned little gift on our perfectly made bed that she had made somehow when, like, in the 3 minutes that we weren't in the room. And so then we open it up, and it's like this incredibly thoughtful gift, like perfectly wrapped in little fine paper, and it's beautiful. And then we're like, thank you so much. And then we went out that day and got her a little something. the next day there's another, and we're just, and he, our buddy Ben was like, dude, just stop. You're in a freaking gift-giving war with the Japanese. You're going to lose. So just stop. Man.
Now, I think I've told you this before. My in-laws, they do the turkey legs for Disney World, Disneyland.
Yep.
And there's one in Tokyo now, or I'm sure it has been for a while or whatever. But anyway, through one of their acquaintances, they got in to that market. And I don't think they're the primary distributor, but maybe they're, you know, in the top two or three. And so anyway, they will come and visit periodically. I say periodically, you know, every year or so or whatever. And my parent or my in-laws are entertainers, like that. They always have people over, like completely comfortable having. And the most nervous I've ever seen them is when, oh, the Japanese are coming, because of that whole thing. Yes. It's like, well, you know, the last time we went over there, we had this, so it's got to be that. And they'll, you know, they bring, you know, 14 gifts and all the stuff. So very, very true to the culture for sure. But
so I tried to be respectful, but I had my Gaijin barbarian moments there. Gaijin, by the way, doesn't mean foreigner. It means barbarian, despite what the Japanese will tell you. And I tried to be very respectful and like polite. And I didn't understand that each. So when you go into a Japanese house, you don't wear your shoes. You wear slippers, right? You leave your shoes at the front. Mm-hmm. And like they have a nice little kiosk, you put your shoes in and then you put on slippers, and they have guest slippers. Well, when you're in a Japanese house, when you go in the bathroom, there's slippers that you wear in the bathroom. And then when you leave the bathroom, you leave the slippers in there and put on your walking around the house slippers. Because the idea is that you've been in the bathroom and these are contaminated slippers. So I got up in the morning to go take a shower. I don't have my house slippers on. I walk in the bathroom and see slippers. So I'm like, oh. So I get out of the shower. I'm walking back to my room and I'm wearing the bathroom slippers. And then someone calls me and I go walk in there in the living room and I'm talking with them. And then I see the mom look down at me, like look down at the slippers briefly and then look back up. And she's Japanese and so won't say anything because she's so polite. And then I go into my room to change and I leave the slippers outside in the hall. And when I come out, she's on all fours scrubbing the ground wherever the bathroom slippers touched. And I'm like, and I walked right by her. And later, you know, Takashi, one of the Japanese guys, is like, dude, you soiled our house. My mom has to scrub the house, and we were all laughing and we were like so apologetic, and they thought it was funny too. But I mean, just little things like that, it was just hilarious. You know, I was a complete barbarian in their mind. So good stuff.
They've been telling that story for years. Oh, they're like, you won't believe that this idiot did.
When we left and they took us to the airport and of course gave us a little bag full of like thoughtful snacks for the plane, they probably went home and set their house on fire.
We're starting over.
They're like, this house has been disgraced. It has been dishonored.
Yeah, definitely starting over.
Yep. Anyway, interesting place. Also, that is, I got exposure to the Shiba Inu. You know, the dog that's like the meme dog on all the.
Yes. You don't know what
I'm talking. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm sure.
That's like one of the national dogs of Japan. So
really? Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. That. Yeah. So the Shiba Inu. Inu means dog. So basically it means Shiba dog. And then Akitas, which is a bigger breed. Would you see out more out in the country? Because they're big dogs.
Yeah.
And then they have a type of dog called a Tosa, it's like a cross between a Mastiff and a Boxer kind of. And you only see those in like estates, like Japanese, like big buildings and stuff. But yeah, I got a preview on the Shiba Inu by about 25 years on the memes and stuff. Because I'd never seen one in the States until I went to Japan. There you go. Japanese trivia. You never thought you'd get it here on EGAT.
Go impress your friends at the bars.
That's right. I'm sure everyone's very impressed. But yeah, it's don't get into gift-giving battle with the Japanese. That's good. A little advice for you guys.
Won't win.
Won't win. You will be the loser. In both thoughtfulness and volume. So any parting thoughts? Our time together is going short.
Not really. A pretty big baseball series coming up this weekend.
Yep. Hey, let me ask you an over-under number.
Okay.
Texas, Vegas has Texas set for the regular season, so no, not even the SEC title game or bowls or playoffs count. The over-under is set at 10.5. We have 12 regular season games. Will Texas go 11-1 and you're going to win the bet? Or will Texas go 10-2 and you lose by a half game?
Man, I think the smart money at this point would probably be on 10-2 just because football and things. I mean, I'd love to tell you that I think we're going to go undefeated, but yeah, I'd probably lean to taking the 10-2.
It's kind of like the correct line, isn't it? 10.5.
I mean, shocker, Vegas gets it right, right?
Yeah, but if you want to split your bets more or less, 10.5 is the right number.
Yeah,
this I is mean, a 10.5 win team.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you run me through the season and say everything goes perfect and nobody gets hurt at crucial times and all this stuff, yeah, I mean, is 11-1, 12-0 on the table? Absolutely.
Sure.
But just knowing, like I said, football, injuries, something random, level of competition probably stepping up. And I'm not saying anything less than 10-2 is a disappointment either, depending on what it looks like. I would lean more towards that than the over.
All right. And I got one more question for you. This is my sanity check. All right. I ran this by Ian as well. I was like, I need a sanity check on something because I see this a certain way and I'm surprised because Vegas is good at what they do.
Paul has turned his hat around backwards for everyone out there. I don't know.
That means
I don't know what's about to come here, but I'm kind of nervous.
It's about to go down. This is what I do when I'm about to gamble. You're a baseball player. You should be familiar with a rally cap, Randy.
Oh, we went way. That's a basic rudimentary version. You gotta turn it like you gotta turn it inside out, flip it upside down.
Oh, inside out, and
you gotta turn your jacket around sideways. Yeah,
that's right.
No, the backward hat doesn't work anymore. That's run its course.
Who's the clown prince of baseball? Who is that guy? The clown? You know what I'm talking about?
No,
you're useless. You know, earlier,
sorry,
off podcast, Randy didn't know if Biggio was in the Hall of Fame or not. I'm just going
to
tell him.
I did have to look it up. I was pretty sure, but I didn't want to lie to Paul because if I would have, he would have brought it up on the podcast, but he brought it up anyway. So
yep, brought it up anyway.
I might as well have taken a shot at it.
All right.
I can tell you, Gerald Young is not in the Hall of Fame, Paul.
He is not in the Hall of Fame.
And I had his jersey as a kid, so.
Okay, good to know. All right. There's a lot of jerseys in Colorado let's say prime on them on the back because the Colorado Buffaloes had some front runners last year that stayed around until about late October. And then they found some other things to do like snowboarding. So
yeah,
Colorado's over under is set at 5.5, 12 game regular season. Okay.
Okay.
Can I read off their schedule to you very quickly?
Please do.
They open with North Dakota State. Do you know anything about North Dakota State?
I do. Loss.
All right. Then they play Nebraska at Nebraska.
Loss.
Colorado, Colorado State. Neutral.
Give them a win.
Okay. They host Baylor in Boulder.
Win.
Okay. Then they go to UCF.
Loss.
Okay. So we got them so far at 2-3. Fair?
Fair.
Okay. Next, they host Kansas State.
Host?
They host the Kansas State Wildcats, led by Avery Johnson.
Win, just because I haven't seen what the new system will be.
Okay. You are wrong on that one. All right.
I agree with your statement, but I'm trying to get to 5.
Now they're going to Tucson. They play at Arizona, and Arizona they were able to pay their receiver and their quarterback.
Loss.
Looks like a shootout, right?
Probably.
All right. Then they host Cincinnati. We're going to say that's a win.
Probably.
Okay. Then they go to Tech.
Lost.
I think we're rooting for the Meteor on that one, but oh
Every
well.
everything runs through Lubbock, Paul.
A lot runs through Lubbock.
Wind does.
I ran through Lubbock one time. A couple of co-eds. All right. Utah, Colorado.
Utah.
Nice. Then they go to Kansas.
I'm taking Leipold.
Damn right. And then the mullet. They close the season with Oklahoma State, and Gundy comes to town.
I can't bet against Gundy. I've seen it too long.
All right. How are these dudes going 6-6?
And I got Gundy circling that one.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So I have already bet that Colorado will not cover this number.
Where did I get to? Even optimistically, 5.
I think you're 5-7.
Ooh, man, I don't know. I'd have to see a lot early to change my mind on that.
Yeah,
I mean, let's say you flip the North Dakota State thing, just because I'm giving them credit for being North Dakota State.
Yep,
I'm still only at 6.
Well, so here's the other thing. If things ain't going great, or Shadur gets nicked, Shadur's going to play in the NFL.
Yeah, he's not. No, he's not hanging out and gutting it out, I don't think.
They're going to shut him down, right?
Probably. I would think so. I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Anyway, from what I've seen so far, I would lean that direction.
And I think the team is a little front runnery. So if the season starts not well, I think this thing could spiral, right?
The whole thing is set up that way. It's set up as an NFL franchise to where, hey, we've got something to play for. Great. But if not, yeah, I think people start protecting. Which I don't hate the model. I just think it's very difficult to do where he's at and in the arena he's in.
Do you feel like telling the starting offensive line late in like mid or late October of last year that they all suck and he was going to replace them?
That none of them were going to have jobs again? Yeah.
So, do you think that was good for their performance or bad for their performance?
Probably going to give you 100%, right? And not try to protect their knees every chance they get.
What if you were about to take the mound and you're fired up, you're excited, and I pull you aside, and I'm your pitching coach, and I go, hey, psst, Randy, you suck. I'm going to get rid of you. Good luck, man.
And say, he's not going to be able to see very well, Cotton. We'll see how it plays out for him. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe he's in tune to something that I'm not, but it seems like an interesting take on the whole thing to me.
It is interesting. Hey, you know what? I'll say this. The guy did get the effect intended. Colorado was the third most watched team in college football last year.
Yeah, I mean, if his goal was to get the eyes on it and then figure it out, he got the start. Now he's got to do the figure it out part.
That Colorado State game that happened at night.
Oh, I can't. We're on some sort of like company fishing thing or whatever, and all. I mean, and granted, it was the only thing that was on. So
yeah,
take that for what it's worth, but. I mean, we all were like, oh, no, we're watching this game. Like, and then it turned into a good game. So everybody was even more into it. So
it had 11 million viewers.
Yeah, it's nuts. It was nuts.
I mean, so, like I said, it was like Texas like Bama.
Yeah, I mean, you got to say part of that is, you know, it was the only thing on at that in that viewing window. But still, I mean, people could have went to sleep or
yes,
done something else. So
you could play the hacky sack. I mean, right. Whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. All right, well. That's my little thought about gambling, betting season win totals. I'm intrigued. And I'll tell you one guy.
That's an interesting one to track.
It is. I'm going to track it because I got money on it. I'll tell you a guy that I always track, and I track his opinion on everything. And when you talk to him, it ain't gambling. That's David McClellan. You can reach him at 312-933-8823. He is a financial advisor par excellence, and he is an expert at wherever money touches your life. He doesn't just give narrow, restricted advice. He is a gentleman who understands every aspect of the market, of retirement, of planning, of risk mitigation. This is a guy who understands straight by the number stuff, and he understands black swan stuff. And I think at the very least, I would give him a call if you are interested in building wealth or managing the wealth you have. He is a gentleman I suggest you should talk to. You can reach him at 312-933-8823. All right, Randy, I don't have anything else I want to talk about. It is mid-May, and until we get the baseball season sort of finished out and we get assigned a regional, I'm not going to have a ton of opinions. Like, we need to go not just win the series against Kansas, but go 3-0. But you got anything else, man, we should close on? Any parting thoughts for the good people?
No, not really. I think you hit on it. I think a sweep this weekend goes a long way. I think at this point you're trying to position for the trying to get into the best possible seed that you can get into. You know, hosting's out the window. So try to get set up at a spot to where you can make some noise. And I think if they, you know, they've started to perform last couple of weeks about, you know, in that mid-teens to 20 range, where they'll probably end up ranked if they can pull off a win and a sweep this weekend. It's baseball. Find a favorable draw. If they can keep control of the game, give the lead to Mr. Bame, it's worked out pretty good over the last few weeks. Duplantier's thrown better. Score some runs.
Agreed. Well, even in this slow time of the year, Randy and I give you great wisdom. Don't get in a gift-giving battle with the Japanese. And curveballs and some other stuff is still undefeated. So on those on those pieces of wisdom, I am Paul Wadlington. That guy's Randy Boone saying, hook 'em.
Hook 'em, everybody.